very good morning to one and all. I believe all the fathers are very happy because of today, the Father's Day. And we thank God for all the fathers. And before I preach on the message of the triumphal entry, let us turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, we shall read from verses 12 to 26. This particular passage, 12 to 26, we shall read responsively on this passage. John chapter 12, I start with verse 12 and you continue, okay? Verse 12, on the next day, much people that will come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and Jesus, when he had found a young ass, and thereon, as it is written, these things understood not his disciple at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remember they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done these miracles. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Philip cometh and tell Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Jesus answered, saying, "Thou hast come, the Son of Man." Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it shall abide alone. But if it die, it shall bring forth much fruit. Verse 26, together, if any man let him follow me, and where I am, and there shall also be servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. The last time I talked about the race, how the Lord Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. And when the religious leader heard about that, what did they do? The chief priest decided to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we come to the Passover time. It was a Passover, an exciting time. Caiaphas and the religious leader had a list of wanted men. All the wanted men are on the list. And on top of the list, you know who's the name there? The Lord Jesus Christ, on top of the list. And now, Lazarus was also included. You know why his name was included? Because he's a living testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one who was raised up by the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. So they want to destroy him, want to kill him. At the same time, during this period, at the same time, the multitude of people were coming to see Jesus. We read it in verse 12, right? So you see, the situation was explosive. The people want to present Jesus as a king. However, the Jewish leader wanted to arrest him. And this was the setting for the presentation of the king in this passage. As we have heard just now, a large group that had come to the Passover feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. All right, they heard about it. And so what did they do? In verse 13, it tells us that they took branches of palm leaves and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." In verse 13. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written in verse 15. "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass colt." Where was it written? It was written in the Old Testament before such thing was happened, in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. The last part wrote about this, about what will happen during the last day of Jesus Christ. And this was what it happened. The word Hosanna really means save. And on this occasion, probably meant save us, or save, I pray. But some people have suggested that it meant Lord, save him. Like the similar to the British national anthem. What is that about? God save the king or the queen. I remember before 1952, we used to sing God save the king. And after 52, God save the queen. And this is something of that meaning. Ask God to preserve the king. Whichever way, it was an anticipatory cry. They saw Jesus as their deliverer, as their king. And not only that, they quoted Psalm 118. The psalmist the psalm that was sung 100 years earlier, before the time of Jesus, when the warrior Judas Maccabeus drove out the Greek. During that time, they sang Psalm 118. Even the branches were symbolic of the crowd's political aspiration. The palm was a symbol on the coin of the second Maccabean's revolt. All right, during that time, Maccabeans controlled Israel, and on their coin, they have the palm leaves. Even waving the palm branches was also symbolic of a nationalistic spirit. So the crowd fully expected to see Jesus issue a call to arm to drive out the Romans. That was the idea of the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah, would come to drive the Roman out of their nation. You see, it's political. So in the midst of such aspiration, the Lord Jesus Christ said something the crowd did not understand. 500 years earlier, the prophet Zechariah had written, Zechariah 9:9, I read to you. He says this: "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, low and riding upon an ass and upon a coat of fur of an ass. This was a prophecy of the triumphant entry. Jesus came not as they expected, but as the prophecy in Zechariah 9:9. The king would not come as a conqueror. You know, Jesus would not come as a conqueror riding a horse, but he would come, the Messiah would come not as a conqueror, but as a humble servant riding on a donkey. He would not be exalted to the Davidic throne, but lifted up to die on the cross. In other words, what the people shouting, rejoicing, waving with palm leaves, what was in their mind? They are waiting for Jesus to issue a call, to call them to fight, and they are ready to fight. But Jesus came at that time was not for political reasons. He came to prepare himself to die on the cross. So the different view is spiritual. It's not political. Of course, the people never have imagined that his entrance into Jerusalem was an entrance into the cruelest of death. They need not know. They thought that he's going to raise them up, call them to fight. So you can see the scenario is very tense, you know. As they shouted the scripture from Psalm 118:25-26, they never thought that the very same psalm, in Psalm 118:22, ironically foretold that the cornerstone would be rejected by the builder. What does that mean? The cornerstone here refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord, here it means that the Lord Jesus Christ will be rejected by the people, by the builder, the people. This prophecy, the coming, actually the triumphant entrance is an entrance to death. Jesus prepared to die. As Luke's gospel tells us in his parallel account, that Jesus had omissionally directed his disciple to take a donkey that had never been ridden. He knew exactly what he was doing when he rode into Jerusalem. He was identifying himself as a long-awaited Messiah. At the same time, he was saying he was not like the other world conquerors of the past or even the future like Alexander or Napoleon or even Judas Maccabeus. The donkey was a loyal beast, but each was an animal of peace, a humble animal. And Jesus was definitely a different king, not a king as what they are thinking of, that they thought of. No one understood that. If they had, they would have cast Jesus Christ aside, which they eventually did. So the people did not know. The crowd wanted the king with a sword to drive the Romans out. In verse 16, says, these things understood not his disciple at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, That is after the resurrection, the ascension. Then they remember these things were written of him. In the Old Testament, talk about all these things, and that they have done these things unto him. So all these things they have done because it's fulfilled in the prophecy of the Old Testament. This lack of understanding refers not only to the Old Testament prediction about Jesus entering to Jerusalem on a donkey, not to the crowd enthusiastic acceptance of the king. All right? They do not understand the significance of the triumphant entries. The disciples probably accept at that time that Jesus had been here as a messianic king, but they would not have understood that the scripture foretold his entry as such, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey as a king of Israel. The disciples did not understand. After the resurrection and the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ, the disciples began to read the scripture and reflect on the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit opened their eyes and enlightened them about what this event was all about and the significance of it. Then they understood what was happening. Before that, they did not know. So come back to the crowd. Wow, they were so happy. They danced here and there, waiting the Lord Jesus Christ to call them to fight. The Pharisee concluded, when the Pharisee looked at all these things, what is in their plan? They concluded in verse 19b, they said, "Behold, look, the world is gone after them." You see, the whole world is following him. All right, now we come to verse 20 to 22. Look at verse 20 and 22. "There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Then came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, 'Sir, we would see Jesus.' Philip cometh and tell Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus." What I want you to note is the Greek, the presence of the Greek at the Passover. Why did the Greek appear at the Passover? Why did he come? Why did they come? Now, we must know the background. The Greeks were known as a wanderer, one who wanted to travel around. And in fact, they were the first people to wander just for the sake of wandering. And in fact, one of the Greeks scolded his own people, saying, "You Athenians will never rest yourself, nor will you even let anyone else rest." So the first thing, the Greek like to travel, like to see around, seeking for something. And the second thing we notice about the Greek, the characteristic of the Greek, is one who seeks after the truth. They want to learn new things. And it is normal for a Greek to go from philosophy to philosophy in his search for the truth. They are seeking for the truth. So they kept requesting to see Jesus. They want to see Jesus. They heard a lot about Jesus Christ. So they want to know about Jesus. They really want to hear Jesus. So we see that Greeks were included in the events of Jesus' incarnation as well as this time, the sacrifice. In the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, we see that the wise men came from where? From the east, the Greeks, the side, to see Jesus. And here we see the wise men from the west came and wanted to see Jesus. So the Gentiles were included in the life of Jesus. So that's why they are present in this passage. Now the word of the Lord Jesus Christ now to the disciples. He says in verse 23, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And this harsh word fell on the people with great expectation, with great shock. The crowd's heart pounding with excitement as they heard these words. Many of them thought that Jesus would come to set a worldwide dominion would never end. Surely, Christ was about to announce his campaign against the Romans and initiate his kingdom. This was what they were thinking about, that Jesus was going to start doing this. After hearing this, how disappointing this word were, the Lord Jesus Christ continued to say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abide alone. But if it die, it will bring forth much fruit." You know what? Jesus was talking about a different kind of king who would rule through death, not through conquest. The illustration of verse 24 was so simple. When you hold a seed of wheat in your hand, what do you see? You cannot see anything, you just see one seed. But inside the seed, literally, each good grain contains about 1 million similar offspring. There are 1 million offspring inside that grain. In the planting season, a grain is cast forth into the ground and then it dies. And then what happened? And then new plant coming up. And after that, you see a lot of fruits. And this is the illustration of what happened when Jesus died. Jesus must die in order to produce more and more grains, more food. Jesus was telling the crowds he would fulfill the kingly role by dying and thereby producing his life in others. That was how he was going to rule. Then Christ expounded that principle to include us, not include all of us here. In verse 25, what did he say? "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." What does that mean? Was he saying that we should cultivate a hatred for living? Does it mean that? My friend, not at all, not at all. The one who chooses this present life only, working hard, doing everything, prepare everything just only for this world, this earthly life, you know what Jesus says? We'll lose it. When you die, you cannot bring anything. You cannot bring anything. What you have prepared, only good for this world, but not for the next world. That's why he's trying to tell you. But the one who chooses the life that Jesus offers shall protect it unto eternity. You see the difference here? What Jesus is saying, that If you choose to live the life that I'm in you, all right, then you have life in eternity. You will save forever, and you have all the blessings that the Lord has prepared for you. The contrast in life not only applies to the soul's salvation, not only applies to our salvation in heaven, but also how we make use of our time on earth. In other words, what Jesus was talking is not just talking about you must believe in me and that's it. No. He was talking about how we utilize our time when we are on earth. How do you make use of your time? And this is something very important. The quality of one's earthly life at its best is temporal. Soon all that we love will pass away. But a life lived for Jesus will last forever. What does that mean? Jesus is telling us to die to ourselves, to die to ourselves, to die to our own sufficiency, to die to the world, to die to the lust, to die to every kind of evil. In other words, we must allow Him to lead our life. Lead our life. Each step of the way. And the Lord will make your life wonderful and meaningful. That's the meaning here. Die to ourselves. Die to our own sufficiency. Die to the world. Don't worship the world. Die to our own lust, like to every kind of evil. So the challenge for us today, are you willing to be what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be? As a pastor, it is my prayer always that all of us will allow the Lord Jesus Christ to take charge of our life. When the Lord takes charge of our life, you see things in a different light, in different way, different from the people of the world. You have the joy, but not like the kind of joy that the world offers you. A different kind of joy. You may not have all the earthly things that people enjoy, but you can still be happy in other ways. I speak this from my own experience. I don't have a lot of things, but I'm very happy. I'm very contented in many, many things. And not only that, I'm so happy. As I grow older, my day is nearer. I'm so happy. And one day, we'll be in that glorious place. It may happen anytime. Now I'm still okay, can run. But I can be sick anytime, you know. I can conk out anytime. Oh, last week I was not feeling well. Suddenly not feeling well. So tired. And I think of so many things to do. Can be that way. But the Lord gave me strength each day, each day. And each day I live with joy and happiness. Problem comes, commit to the Lord helped me to solve. Many problems. A pastor has many problems. In fact, during my pastoral ministry, I have more problems than any one of you. As a pastor, we take care of those before marriage. And after marriage, a baby also take care. When they are young, growing up, also take care of them until they die. Bury them. So the pastor ministry is very wide, very, very wide. And they have all kinds of members, have all kinds of problems. They come and see the pastor. And what shall I do? I can't help. I committed to the Lord. And the Lord helped me in my work. This is helping only. But I also receive a lot of attack. A lot of problems from other people. No matter what you do, people will not be happy. They will say something about you. And there are thousands of times you say, I want to quit. Thousands of times. To quit so easy, just sign. But no. I know that I'm in the Lord's business. My work is not finished yet. I cannot quit. So I stay on, stay on, stay on. For how many years? 50. Now I'm at least 50 years, 40 over years of pastoral ministry. I handle a big group of congregation bigger than this. How many times? We have big congregation and all kinds of people. And people that give trouble, problem are those intellectual people. Can speak, can argue very well. And they want their opinion to be heard, to carry out. What shall you do? But I tell you, I'm a stern pastor. I don't care who's the person. I know the truth, I follow the truth. That was my pastoral ministry. And the Lord helped me through so many times. So many times. What did I do? Not because I'm clever. I said, Lord, I cannot handle. You handle. And the Lord worked out a way, delivered me out from my problem. I remember one time, I went for an operation. Stone operation. All right. But at that time, I got a problem. In the church, big problem. But during that time, I went through operation, and the operation was very, very dangerous. One specialist not enough, called another specialist to do another thing. Then I got it through. Then I smiled. After that, I smiled. The doctor looked at me, very dangerous, no, nearly died. I said, is it? I don't know. Really, I don't know. But thank God, not because of operation, because the Lord helped me to solve the problem, how to handle certain problem. The Lord helped me on many, many occasions. So, dear friends, a pastor has many problems and the Lord helped solve and give the joy. You can have that kind of joy. You can have that. Serving the Lord, not easy. Living a Christian life, not easy. But when you give your life to the Lord will give you the joy. If you try your best, that's the kind of joy they have, the earthly joy. After a while, you disappear, no more already. So today, my prayer is that give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That the Lord take care of your life, and your life will be different. May God help each one of us. Let us